I'm Ann Kirshner. I'm the author of Sala's Gift and the daughter of Sala Gornsash Kirshner.
5 long years, 7 different labor camps during her teenage years, no less.
Yes.
Your mom held on to letters from family and friends, really at the risk of her life.
She could have been killed at any point for harboring something personal, private. Really, anything like that would have been taken away from you in the camp. So I think of this as my mother's act of resistance, that she wasn't going to let anybody take these letters away.
I can't imagine how you were able to, over 2 decades, put onto paper something that has to be quite emotional for you.
It was extremely emotional for me, but also exhilarating. And I wouldn't want to lose that part of it, because for all of us, regardless of what your parents' experiences were, sometimes you imagine them as young people, but you don't really get to experience them. Maybe they'll tell you about what they were like as young men and women. But to really almost be able to time travel using these letters that were written to her, and then hearing her own words through her diary, this was like a portal to the past. And that was tremendously exciting, because so dramatically my mother had closed that door to the past. So there were parts of it that were incredibly painful, and yet there were also parts of it that were exhilarating.
So when did the moment come when she opened up to you and shared this part of her life with you?
I can tell you exactly the date. It was July 4th, 1991, and she brought me this box. And I thought, oh, she's bringing me her jewelry or something for safekeeping. But she hands me this box, and I open it up, and inside is a leather portfolio, and it's stuffed with neatly folded pieces of paper and postcards. And as I took them out, I could see that they were written in languages I couldn't read, but I could recognize my mother's maiden name, Sala Gornsash, on all of them.
In working your way through these letters, you hit a number of barriers, not least among them, language.
Language, yes. When the Nazis invaded Poland and then deported thousands and then tens of thousands and then hundreds of thousands of Jews, in the very beginning of the war, they allowed the slave laborers to receive letters from home. And my mother's family was literate in Polish and Yiddish, but not in German. And the Nazis insisted that the letters be written in German. So the letters are written, a few of them from the beginning of the war are in Polish. Then the correspondence switched to German, but it's kind of a German learned with a gun to your head. Sometimes there are coded messages slipped into the letters, either in Polish or in Yiddish.
One that I thought was very remarkable involved, I believe it was your aunt that kept mentioning weddings.
Yes, yes, yes. My Aunt Rose, or Rizal, as she was known, Rizal would write to Sala and would say, there was a wedding and I wasn't invited, or there was a big wedding and everybody was invited and I only went for a little while and then I went home. And while I was working on Sala's Gift, I turned to my mother and I said, I don't get it. How come Rizal is going to all these weddings? And my mother suddenly remembered that this was code for a deportation, for a roundup. So if it was a big roundup, my aunt would refer to it as a big wedding. If she hadn't been invited, it meant that she hadn't been caught. If she wrote that she had gone briefly and then went home, it meant that she had been caught, but then allowed to return home again. And there are others in there that we have not yet been able to figure out, like a reference in one of them to fish. We had a big fish for dinner that my aunt refers to a couple of times. And I hope that there will be historians and graduate students and scholars of all kinds who will continue to use the letters as a treasure trove to fuel their own research.
In going through all the letters and photographs, what have been some of the more difficult items to really confront?
My mother was a teenager in Nazi camps behind barbed wire, and she really didn't know what happened to her parents. How were they killed? When were they killed? And as I put together the story, I began to trace the path of my mother's siblings, five of whom were married and had children of their own and were all killed, as well as her parents. And so I discovered exactly when it was her parents were taken and the really cataclysmic events of August 1942 when my grandmother and my grandfather were taken to Auschwitz. My mother didn't know any of this. And so while she was my partner and told me whatever she could, I had to fill in many of the blanks through my own research, and then I had to come back to my mother with this fuller picture. That was very hard. It was difficult for her, and it put me in the position of you know, a storyteller of great pain.
Despite what was going on around them, were there also joyous moments and stories in these letters as well?
There were. My mother's friends would write to her. You know, these were teenage girls, and they would write as teenage girls today would. I got my hair cut, and I saw my boyfriend, and we miss you so much. Probably the letter that I read through tears, but also through a profound sense of joy, is the one that we always read at Passover. And that's the first letter that Reisel writes to Sala after liberation. Reisel was liberated in Bergen-Belsen, and then she was sent to Sweden. She was more dead than alive and had typhus. And the letter that Reisel writes to Sala when she first discovers that Sala is alive is a letter of such profound happiness. It is a song of liberation, but also just a sense of pathos and loss and their parents and their world, their culture, their language, all of it just destroyed. And so for us, that's always a very profound moment at Passover when one of my children reads that letters and we share that sense of liberation and loss.